Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, here we are. Middle of the week. Got a football game going on tomorrow. Can't wait. Hall of Fame game. You already know about it. I've already talked enough about it. But either way, that's tomorrow. I'm assuming it's got to be on about, what, 5 or 5.30, I'm guessing? Let me see if I can check the time for it real quick. Let's see, 5 o'clock, Canton, Ohio, Tom Benson Hall of Fame Field, I'm assuming is what it's called. You even got the lines up, Baltimore by 2.5. I feel like that's a good pick right there. I mean, I'm assuming Baltimore is going to be playing with RG3 and Lamar Jackson for most of that game, but I'm assuming that unless Chase Daniels just drastically improved, he's not better than those two guys, and usually the team with the best quarterback, especially when it's preseason, wins. Meaning, Ravens are going to be trotting out Flacco, RG3, and Lamar Jackson. They got this one in the bag, right? All right. I'm curious to see what Lamar Jackson looks like tomorrow. Been a lot of talk about him. I'd know if this guy doesn't complete more than 65% of his passes, his accuracy is going to get brought up in some way, shape, or form. It's just the way it goes, I guess. But either way, we got into that. And then let's see if we got preseason week one. Preseason week one starts Thursday, August 9th. We will be having the Panthers, Bills, Bears, Bengals, Dolphins, Buccaneers, Browns, Giants, Steelers, Eagles, Saints, Jags, Redskins, Patriots, Rams, Ravens, Titans, Packers, Texans, Chiefs, Cowboys, 49ers, Colts, Seahawks, Falcons, Jets, Lions, Raiders, Falcons, Jets, Lions, Raiders is on Friday. Colts, Seahawks is the last day of Thursday's opening week one for preseason. Let's see, we got the Lions and everything. Bills favored by 2.5 against the Panthers. Probably the only game they'll be favored in this season. Dolphins, 1.5-point favorites over the Bucks. Giants, 2.5-point favorites over the Browns. Eagles, 3-point favorites over the Steelers. Jacksonville, 2.5-point favorites over the Saints. New England, 4.5-point favorites over the Redskins. And then let's see, you got the Texans, or Kansas City, 2.5-point favorites over the Texans. San Francisco's 3.5-point favorites over Dallas. And then you got Seattle, who are 3-point favorites over the Colts. You got to be a special type person if you're gambling on preseason football, too, let me tell you. I mean, if that's your thing, that's your thing, but I don't think I could ever do that. But I feel like gambling on preseason football might be a little easy. Considering you probably just bet on the youngest team. I mean, usually how it goes. The veterans don't really play too much. All the younger guys usually get all the work. I don't know. That'd be my little go about it. But either way, let me tell you what we're talking about. So it turns out the Seahawks stink. And Doug Baldwin's going to be out for most of the preseason. The Eagles are scaling back Carson Wentz's camp participation. I mean, I have no problem with that. We'll talk about that in the second segment. And then the third segment, the Patriots have absolutely zero wide receivers on their team. That's an over-exaggeration, but they're looking pretty thin at the position. So we'll be talking about that. Just give my thoughts on it all. And then for the fourth segment, as we always do, we'll be talking about anything else going on in the world of football. Maybe we talk more about this Hall of Fame game. Maybe we talk about some other wacky stuff going on in football. Who knows? I like to keep that fourth segment pretty open because that just leaves the imagination available to work. So that's how it's going to go down today. Literally, cannot wait for tomorrow. I'm not sure you can really see my excitement, but I am very excited. I mean, there's just nothing like a football season. Football, as drama-filled as it is and all that, there's nothing better than the game itself, as far as watching your favorite team and all. Basketball, I think, has become my second favorite sport to watch. But it doesn't have the same kind of hype or excitement factor that the NFL does. The MLB is about as boring as it could get. I mean, I still watch and all that, but as far as the way they market their game, I mean, you gotta like really force yourself to get into it and like stay into it in order to stay there. NHL, I don't get as excited for that season as I do football or basketball. Soccer, World Cup, that did bring a lot of excitement, but like I said, it just doesn't come close to the game of football, to the NFL. My team's probably going to stink this season. They usually do, but I mean, like I said, it's football season finally. Way too early Super Bowl picks. I'd say Philly and Jacksonville right now. Maybe the Rams. I don't know. But as of right now, I'm going Philly-Jacksonville. I mean, Philly, you got to stick to it. And the Eagles, once again, are probably going to have to go a season where they failed two quarterbacks. And the one who was their starter week one isn't the one who's going to end up winning the Super Bowl for them. If that's how it happens, that's probably how it will happen. And that's got to be like a first, isn't it? First team to start different quarterbacks in back-to-back seasons week one and win back-to-back Super Bowls with different quarterbacks to end the season. I'm just saying. That might have to get credited by me. Or credited to me if the Eagles end up winning the Super Bowl. But like I said, there's an NFC team out there who I think really stinks, and it's Seattle. I mean, Seattle, they had a good run. Okay, we'll say that. Pete Carroll took over this team in 2010. That year, they won the NFC West, finishing 7-9. I mean, absolutely disgusting there. You had them winning a playoff game against the Saints that year. For those that don't remember, that was the Marshawn Lynch Beastquake game. I think, is that what we call it? Where he had that run where basically no one on the Saints could tackle the guy. It's wild to me how no one went low on Marshawn Lynch either to try and tackle him. Everyone went up high. But, I mean, what do I know, right? So they end up winning that game. They end up losing to the Bears in the divisional round. The next year, they go 7-9 once again. End up finishing third this time. 7-9 turns out wasn't good enough to win you back-to-back division titles. And then 2012 is where we really started to see them creep up, make their way back to the top. And coincidentally enough, that 2012 year was the year they drafted Russell Wilson and decided to start him instead of Matt Flynn. Imagine if Pete Carroll pretty much just sticks to the business approach of it and ends up starting Matt Flynn because he's the one that they're paying instead of Russell Wilson. I mean, imagine how that would have won for this franchise. Like, obviously, Russell Wilson probably would have became the starting quarterback for this team. There was a point where you start Matt Flynn week one that year, and that changes up that entire 2012 season. In 2012 season, Russell Wilson goes 11-5. They win the wild card round against the Redskins, beating RG3, his fellow rookie in that draft class. Then they lose to the Falcons, 30-28 in the divisional round. The next year, they're Super Bowl champs. They go 13-3 that season. Legion of Boom is, I guess we could say, officially on the map that year. They win the divisional round against the Saints, beat the 49ers in the NFC Championship. That was the game where Richard Sherman yelled at Aaron Andrews a whole lot after the game. And that little post-game, I guess, I don't want to call it a press conference because, I mean, it was on the field, but you get what I'm saying. Then they blow out the Broncos 43-8 in one of the more shocking Super Bowl results ever, I'd say. Not just because the Seahawks won, but because they blew out the Broncos as bad as they did. Let's not forget the Broncos had the number one offense that year. The next year, they go 12-4. Finished first in the division. Win the division around against the Panthers. Beat the Packers in that overtime game where the Packers messed up on that onside kick. And then lose to the Patriots because Pete Carroll figured it'd be a good idea to throw the ball on the 1 yard line instead of giving it to the man no one can tackle. 2015, they win the wild card game against the Vikings. They actually finished second in that division that year. Who won the division 2015? I'd have to double check that. But either way, they finished second. Win the wild card round against the Vikings. Losing the division round to the Panthers, who eventually go on to lose the Super Bowl to the Broncos. In the 2016, the last year they made the playoffs, they go 10-5-1, finish first. Win the wild card round against the Lions. And losing the division round to the Falcons, who eventually blew a 28-3 lead to the Patriots in the Super Bowl that year. Last year, they go 9-7, miss out on the playoffs, finishing second in the division. And it's just like now, like I said, there's a whole bunch of uncertainty surrounding this team. I mean, Doug Baldwin's going to be out for the preseason, so that means a lot of time he's going to have to miss. And it's just the point where Legion of Boom is gone. Earl Thomas, it seems, is either going to be playing week one for a different team or just sitting out until something happens with his contract. And I'm just not sure that this is a job that Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson can fix on their own. Unless, of course, there is the chance of the Seahawks and Pete Carroll just drafting extremely well. Pete Carroll developing talent the way he always has with this team. That's the only saving grace for this team right now, and I'm not sure that's the way it's going to end up. So it's going to be interesting to see how, I mean, this team progresses throughout the season. But I think more so it's just the point of they got to be competitive, because I don't think it'll be tough for them to get over 500. Okay, so we'll wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about the Eagles, so stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about how bad the Seahawks are going to be this season. Now we move over to a team who, I mean, as of right now, has got to be the Super Bowl favorite. That's got to be the Eagles, right? I mean, you can't say they're not until they're not, really. Eagles won the Super Bowl last year and managed to get better this offseason. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is Carson Wentz. Last year, the man was going into his second season in the NFL out of, what is it, North Dakota State? Coming off of a solid rookie year. Second season absolutely explodes onto the scene. I mean, the guy was on his way to winning an MVP and locking up the number one spot in the NFC for the Eagles. Up until they were playing a big game against the Rams, week, what was it, 15, he ends up blowing his knee out. And everything turned out pretty well for the Eagles still. They ended up winning the Super Bowl. They ended up getting that number one spot in the NFC. But, of course, the problem was your franchise quarterback blew his knee out. That's not something you necessarily want to see. I mean, it's a whole lot better than being a shoulder injury, but either way, ACL injuries are no fun. And let me say this. I mean, it is ridiculous how every day you refresh what's going on around training camp and someone is always blowing their knee out. I mean, we talk a lot about concussions, but torn ACLs are happening like it's just a normal injury. Meaning, it's just like it's ridiculous how many people are tearing their ACLs. I'm not sure if it's because everyone's too athletic now or whatnot, but I mean, we got to come up with some type of technology where these dudes' knees aren't getting torn like it's nothing every other practice. I mean, it's ridiculous. I've seen at least, and training camp's only been up and running for about a week for most teams, about 10 to 15, 10 at least, I'd say, torn ACL injuries or injuries to that nature. I mean, it's ridiculous. But either way, like I said, Wentz tore his ACL week 15. Can't play the rest of the season, obviously. Foles comes in. They win the Super Bowl. Eagles get their first Super Bowl trophy in ever. Great story. And we come into the offseason. I mean, I'm assuming everyone's thinking, yeah, Foles is going to be starting quarterback for someone else next season. I mean, the guy just came out and beat the New England Patriots and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl and outplayed him. That never happened. Nick Foles is done for as far as getting a starting job. His value will never be as high as it was going forward compared to what it was this past offseason. If I'm Nick Foles, I'm hoping the Eagles come my way and offer to make me the highest paid backup in the league because, like I said, the man will not be starting for another team for the rest of his career, I'd say. I mean, if there was ever a time for him to go to a team like the Browns or anything like that, it was this past offseason. They chose Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield, and there was no team willing to pay the price to get Nick Foles on their team. So, here he is still in Philly. Carson Wentz is back at training camp, but the Eagles are starting to limit him a little bit more. Not running team drills or anything like that, and he doesn't need to be. Unless the man is 100%, I'm not really letting him do much if I'm the Eagles. I mean, what's the point of trying to rush Carson Wentz out there? And it kind of seems like that's what's going on in Philadelphia. It seems like they're kind of teetering on rushing him back. So I think that's why we're starting to see them scale it back a bit for him. Because if you say it enough, people will believe it. Carson Wentz is the starting quarterback of this team when he's healthy. And I think maybe, and again, this is all just hypotheticals, theories, and all that. It seems like maybe the Eagles are trying to rush him back so that there's not much of a controversy. Because Nick Foles is going to win games for this team. He starts week one against the Falcons in Philly Thursday night to start out the season. I'm taking the Eagles to win that game. I know what Nick Foles brings to the table as far as this Eagles team. Then you got to play Tampa Bay and the Colts right after that. There's a very good chance if Wentz doesn't come back till about week four or week five, the Eagles have won either four in a row or three in a row to start out the season. And let's say that Wentz doesn't come back or isn't ready to go till about week five and the Eagles are 4-0 up until that point. If you're Doug Peterson, we know you've been saying it, but is Carson Wentz really going to be your starter after Nick Foles has gone 4-0 so far? And again, chances are of this happening, it doesn't, but it's something that needs to be talked about. I mean, can you really mess with that? I'm not so sure that you can, and I'm not so sure that you want to. Why are you going to mess with a good thing? It's kind of like back when Harbaugh had Kaepernick and Smith. Smith ends up getting a concussion. He was playing well to start off that season. Kaepernick comes in, pretty much erupts, and is producing stats all over the field. Smith is ready to go, but Kaepernick has been having this team play extremely well to the point where can you really afford to take him off the field? Harbaugh chose not to. They made it to the Super Bowl that year. Of course, they ended up losing, but I think Harbaugh ended up making the right decision. And we could see that over here with Philly. I mean, like I said, Foles is a great quarterback when he's got great talent around him. He will definitely have great talent around them. Like I said, this team, I'd say, got better compared to last year, meaning they are better than the team that won the Super Bowl last year. Yeah, Jay Ajayi coming into his first full season with the Eagles. Corey Clement, who I like a lot. Denell Pumphrey, who is coming into his second season, didn't really play at all last year, so we'll see if he gets an extended role. Darren Sproles, who's going to be retiring after this year. You got Nelson Agholor, who played extremely well in the slot last season. Alshon Jeffrey. I'm sure Matt Collins, who they're expecting to step up coming into his second year. Let's not forget, they got Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace coming into his 10th year, still about as fast as anyone. And I think he's going to have probably the best year he's had in the last five seasons. You got Marcus Wheaton on that squad, drafted Dallas, go Dirt. Zach Ertz, offensive line, one of the best in football. Then you look at the defensive line, they added Michael Bennett to a defensive line with Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett, Chris Long, Fletcher Cox, Tim Jernigan. Added Haloti Ngata. Let's see, looking at their linebackers, you got Hicks coming back, replacing him with Michael Kendricks. We'll see how that ends up working out. You got Nigel Bradham. Secondary, Darby, Sidney Jones, Jalen Mills, Malcolm Jenkins. I mean, they got a real solid team. And like I said, worst case scenario is Foles lights it up for the first four games of the season or however long Wentz is out. And you got a question on your hand whether or not you stick with the hot hand or you stick with the guy who's supposed to be your franchise quarterback. I mean, I know Doug Peterson has repeatedly said it. Carson Wentz is our guy. But there's going to be a point in time where it comes down to it and you're going to really have to decide whether or not he really is. But we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, Carson Wentz could end up being ready week one, and this all being for nothing. I mean, that's a possibility in itself also. So, we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, as of right now, I'd say that the Eagles are the best team in the NFC. I'd take them over the Rams. I'd take them over the Saints. I'd take them over the Vikings, Packers, anyone else in their division. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they manage to do in the second season. I mean, this is a team that's never really dealt with winning before as far as a Super Bowl. And we've seen teams, year after they win a Super Bowl, pretty much just, like I said, get that Super Bowl hangover. That could hit Philly. NFC's looking real strong this season. I've been saying all along there's going to be a team that surprises everyone as far as them not making the playoffs. I think that might be Atlanta, but of course it could be the Eagles. They're not completely safe from everyone else too, so we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, I'm assuming that when it comes down to it, Carson Wentz will be the starting quarterback of this team when he is ready. And like I said, Nick Foles needs to become the highest paid backup and finish out his career as the Eagles backup. I think that's probably the best job in football anyway, so we'll see what ends up happening. But either way, we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about the Patriots. They're not looking too great at receivers, so stay tuned for that, and I will be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Spent that first segment talking about the Seahawks, second segment on the Eagles, and now we move over to New England where they don't get too many receivers out there. Not as strong as they've usually been. I mean, have New England receivers ever been relatively strong? I mean, off the top of my head, I think of Randy Moss, Deion Branch, but none that really jumped off the table to me. But either way, yeah, this team, I mean, they're real thin at the wide receiver position. Ended up cutting Jordan Matthews today. You got to figure that that might be the end of his career. I feel like once you start your career off with a different team, you get injured, the Patriots pick you up, and then they end up cutting you. That just pretty much tells the league, yeah, this guy doesn't really got it anymore. So, we'll see if a new team ends up picking up Jordan Matthews. But either way, I mean, they got Edelman, who's suspended for 4 games. Hogan, who's pretty reliable, I'd say. Malcolm Mitchell, who has, like, he's, this is his third year, but we haven't really seen him play. So we really don't know what kind of receiver he's going to be like. And then, like I said, they drafted Braxton Berrios. He's a rookie. Patriots, like I said, just real thin at receiver. And is that going to be a problem? I mean, has it ever been? Honestly. Added Cordell Patterson this offseason. I'm assuming their starting 3 receivers week one are going to be, it's got to be Chris Hogan. I'm assuming Kenny Britt and either Malcolm Mitchell or Braxton Berrios. And there's a point where, yeah, Brady can still get the job done. But, I mean, he's going to have some type of talent around him at least, doesn't he? And then again, I mean, all Brady's really got to do is throw the ball to Rob Gronkowski. They do that, and you're pretty well set up as far as your offense goes. But, like I said, I mean, they only drafted Braxton Berrios. Didn't really feel like they needed to add to that wide receiver position. Maybe this is a year where we see them run the ball a whole lot more. I mean, they brought on Jeremy Hill, signed him over from Cincinnati. They drafted Sonny Michel in the first round. Also added some offensive line help. So, I mean, that could just be the case here. The Patriots are more so shifting to being a running the football type of team. That's a possibility. I mean, Brady is 40 right now. Let me see. When is Brady turned 41? And, I mean, Brady's age, I think, at this point is pretty irrelevant as far as his play. Because, I mean, the guy has seemingly got better each of the last 5 years. So, yeah, he'll be 41 in 2 days. I mean, we've been waiting for Brady to kind of just start to fall off, and that hasn't happened, so I'm not really going to wait for that this season. But looking at the Patriots, they've made the Super Bowl last 2 years. Let me see if I could take a look at their, how do you say, past history. Because, I mean, it seems like this team's in the Super Bowl year after year, and it's rare when we don't see them. But I honestly think that this is going to be a year where they don't end up making it to the, end up making it back to the Super Bowl. I think we're going to really see a different team this year. And, I mean, Brady's only got about, what, a couple more years left? His wife has brought up concussions. Brady's already pretty much accomplished everything. So let's see. We'll go to the top. So this past season, we saw them go 13-3, lose to Philly in the Super Bowl. Year before that, they beat Atlanta in the Super Bowl. 2015, they lost in the conference championship. 2014, they won the Super Bowl, ended up beating the Seahawks. 2013, 2012, lost in the conference championship both times. 2011, lost in the Super Bowl. If I'm not mistaken, that was to Eli Manning. 2010, lost in the division. 2009, lost in the wild card round. So, the last, from 2011 and up, they've either been in the conference championship or the Super Bowl. I'm not going to go out and say they're not going to make the conference championship round this season. I do think they will. It's just a matter of, are they playing Pittsburgh or Jacksonville in that game? And I don't know. Can we actually say that it's a guarantee the Patriots will be in the conference championship? I mean, I feel like we do this every year, trying to doubt them a bit. I'm not trying to doubt them. I'm just trying to figure out whether or not this problem at receiver is going to be a real problem or if it's just a quote-unquote problem. And I'm not so sure that we can count on this bringing down the Patriots. And, I mean, the run that they've been on is absolutely ridiculous from 2001 and on. But either way, it does, for some reason, feel like this is the beginning of the end of the Patriots dynasty. And I'm not saying it's going to end this season, but more so, we're hitting the latter years here. It seems like year after year, last couple years, we've seen Gronk contemplate retirement, or at least that's been the rumor. Brady and Belichick, I mean, it's been reported that they got their problems. Like I said, Brady's wife doesn't want Brady playing football anymore. And there's just a point with how much more could you possibly win? I mean, what, Brady's already got 5 Super Bowl wins right now? Has been to 8 of them. Already regarded as the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, there's not much left for him to accomplish. I mean, he just won an MVP last year, for crying out loud. There's not much else for this guy to go out and do. So I think it becomes a point of how much more of this is worth it, I guess, is the question I'm trying to ask. I mean, taking hits every game. Concussions, like I said. There's a point where eventually I'd say kind of gets old. And like I said, I'm thinking that's within the next couple of years. And as far as this team's future, I mean, they were pretty well set up. Had Jimmy Garoppolo as the backup quarterback, looking like he was going to be the future. And it seems Robert Kraft ended up making Belichick trade him for a second round pick over to San Francisco. And now that quarterback situation isn't really too great either. I mean, the Patriots could go out, win a Super Bowl, and Brady call it quits right then and there. And the Patriots are in a real bad spot after that because they have no successor to the quarterback. Brissett plays for the Colts. Garoppolo is now a 49er. And if I'm not mistaken, I think they might have. Yeah, they did end up drafting the quarterback in the 7th round, Danny Etling, quarterback at LSU. I mean, but it's a 7-round pick. I don't really expect him to stick around too much, but I'm sure neither did anyone with Tom Brady. But like I said, I mean, this upcoming year, they're really going to have to draft one, whether or not Brady is there or not. Because, I mean, I don't know, I just feel like they're in a bad spot for the future. Like, these next couple of years, sure, they can win now, but after that, I mean, there's not much certainty there. Who's to say Gronk doesn't retire the same year Brady does? I mean, we got to assume that once Brady retires, Gronk's production is going to go insanely down. I think we've all kind of come to a consensus that Gronk is the greatest tight end of all time, even with injuries. I mean, the dude's never really had a season where an opposing team was able to shut him down and figure out how to stop Gronk. Let me see if I can go over Gronk's career numbers here. But like I said, I mean, I figure when Brady retires, that's when Gronk retires. Chances are Belichick will retire at that time. Then you're going to be having poor Josh McDaniels take over. And I mean, even then, that's going to be tough to do. Because the Patriots, they're not going to be, once Brady and Belichick are gone, they're going to be a normal football team again. They're not going to be this unbeatable team out there. And it's going to be rough those first couple of years once they're gone. Because like I said, if McDaniels is the guy to take over, he won't last more than 2 or 3 years with the Patriots. I think McDaniels is a great offensive coordinator. He couldn't really cut it over in Denver when he became the head coach. And I mean, like I said, he's going to have to find himself a quarterback, and that's tough to do. But looking at Gronk, I mean, he's had 4 years where he's had over 1,000 yards out of 8 seasons. I mean, of course, injuries have been a thing, but I don't know. You know, Gronk is one of the best tight ends of all time and arguably the best, I'd say. I'm not going to go off of that. But either way, like I said, Patriots' wide receiver situation isn't looking great. Doesn't seem like Randy Moss or DM Branch are going through that door. And I mean, as far as their future, there's not much to be excited about after Brady and Belichick. So that's all I got to say about that. This next segment, we'll be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
And welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far today, we spent the first segment talking about how bad the Seahawks are going to be. We spent the second segment talking about the Eagles and Carson Wentz. And the third segment talking about the Patriots wide receiver situation. As you know, for the fourth segment, we usually talk about anything else going on in the world of football. And I still feel like Sean Merriman, former Chargers linebacker, still exists among the world of football. So whenever he's in the news, it makes it on this show. Sean Merriman is going to be giving bare-knuckle boxing a try. And I mean, congrats, I guess. I don't know, man. I mean, it's up to Sean Merriman. If he wants to do that, he can. But bare knuckle boxing, that's what we're doing now. I mean, you got to be a special type of crazy. Special type of crazy to do bare knuckle boxing. And I feel Sean Merriman is that type of crazy. And I mean, I didn't even know that bare knuckle boxing was something that, how do you say, that you could sign a deal in. I just figured it was dudes in their backyards running illegal tournaments. But no, he signed a deal and everything. Signed a deal with the World Bare Knuckle Fighting Federation, WBKFF. Going to compete in a bare knuckle boxing match later this year. Let's see what else I could find about this. I mean, he says it's something he wants to do. Made a statement to ESPN and all that. The event where he will be fighting is going to take place in Casper, Wyoming, and it will be airing via pay-per-view online. I mean, like I said, bare-knuckle boxing doesn't really sound too enticing to me. But Sean Merriman's always seemed to be a big, scary dude. And I figured if anyone's going to be able to do this, it's Sean Merriman. I mean, he's only 34 right now, so he's still pretty young. I'm thinking something else. Maybe you go join the XFL or AAF if you still got it. I mean, that's a big name right there. You bring in guys like that, people are going to come watch, like I've said. You got Trent Richardson who's going to be coming to the AAF. And he'll get some people to watch him. He'll be playing for the Birmingham team out there. Maybe we get Sean Merriman out here. Get him playing football again. But wanted to note that, yes, indeed, Sean Merriman will be partaking in bare-knuckle boxing this year. No date or anything like that for his event. But as soon as that ends up happening, I will relay it here on this show. But did not think I was going to be talking about Sean Merriman today. Almost feels like something we do on a Friday show. But nonetheless, I mean, we got news on a Wednesday like that. We talk about it. So let's see what else is going on in the world of football. I mean, I feel like we're all just waiting to get to tomorrow. I'm sure a lot of us will be sitting on our couch because I don't necessarily think that you go to a bar for a preseason football game. We'll be sitting on our couch watching the game, seeing what RG3 could do, and seeing what kind of quarterback Lamar Jackson is going to look like. But either way, saw that Patrick Mahomes didn't really have a great day-to-day in training camp. Threw a couple of interceptions, called the wrong play. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs fans got to realize he's going to be making those rookie mistakes. I highly doubt he'll call the wrong play in a game or anything like that. But there will be times where you kind of see him make a throw and it's just like, wait, what was that? Mahomes is a second-year quarterback, but he's basically a rookie since he barely even played last season. Only played week 17. And, I mean, I don't really think that this is a problem. I don't really put too much stock into training camp problems or anything like that, interceptions, because it's people playing football in shorts. I mean, you can't really look too much into it. Of course, now they're starting to put on the pads and all that, but either way, we're not going to really see what Mahomes can do until he's out there week one playing against someone other than his own defense. I mean, you're never going to get the full experience playing against your own team. But, I mean, I think the Chiefs are going to be pretty decent this season. I'm not sure where I have them record-wise. But as far as it all goes down, I mean, Andy Reid has always shown us that he can work well with quarterbacks. I mean, Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick, Kevin Cobb, Alex Smith, and now his latest project is Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes has got the weapons around him. Best tight end in the league. Second best tight end in the league. One of the most explosive playmakers at receiver. And then a second-year running back who, I mean, just absolutely dominated in his rookie season. I think you had Kareem Hunt running for 1,300 yards this past season. Defense is a bit of a question. Last year, they were really old, got rid of a lot of the older guys and brought in some new guys. But now it's just the point of you got to develop those new guys, and I highly doubt that they'll be ready to go week one. And you did trade away Marcus Peters over to the Rams. Did bring on, what was his name? Is it Kendall Fuller? I believe it was from the Redskins. It's either Kyle Fuller or Kendall Fuller, and I'm almost positive it is Kendall Fuller. But either way, I mean, like I said, Chiefs, they do have a possibility of winning that division. Because you look at the Chargers, it seems like they're all getting hurt right now. Tight end position is pretty much as thin as they could get. You lost Jason Verrett for the season already. Almost lost. Williams ended up getting hurt today, I think it was, too, so they got to see what's going on with him. And Phillip Rivers tends to not play well when it matters most. As for the Broncos, no one's really too sure about them. Defense last 2 years kind of took a break, given that they had to play the entire game for the last couple years, it seems. Finally brought in a decent quarterback in Case Keenum. You got Devontae Booker and Freeman who are going to be fighting for that starting running back job. I like the receivers. I think Thomas and Sanders still got it. Also, I think they drafted Cortland Sutton, unless I'm mistaken. And then, like I said, I mean, as far as their defense goes, I mean, if they're not playing as well as they should be, Broncos won't be anything to be worried about. And then you got the Raiders. I don't know about that team, man. I'm kind of shifting to where I kind of want to pick KC as my division winners in that AFC West, but I guess I got to stick with the Chargers at this point. Can't be flip-flopping just yet. But either way, like I said, I mean, Mahomes had a bad day at camp. I don't really put too much stock into it. It's training camp. I mean, he's basically a rookie quarterback at this point, so he's going to throw interceptions. He's going to have some problems as far as calling plays. As long as he's not doing that during the regular season, I think everyone's just going to be fine, okay? But either way, let's see anything else going on in the world of football right now before we wrap it up. For some reason, the Dolphins had Ryan Tannehill playing out there without a red jersey, meaning he could be hit. Cam Wake hit him pretty good today, I guess, at training camp. Tannehill was a bit slow getting up, but ended up running sprints, I think, at the end of practice, so he's fine. I mean, I don't understand why he doesn't got the red jersey on. Adam Gase should know that this season does completely depend on that quarterback. If Tannehill goes out for the season, then, I mean, there's no point in them playing one game this season. They'd have to go into the season with either Brock Osweiler or David Fales as their quarterback unless they just picked one up off of free agency. But, I mean, that's the only real notable thing left. So we're going to wrap it up here. Like I said, tomorrow we get the Hall of Fame game. We'll be recording before that game, so either way, we're going to wrap it up, like I said. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Football Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. Football is back tomorrow. Get excited. We'll talk about the game tomorrow itself on Friday. And maybe we'll preview a little something about it tomorrow on tomorrow's episode. So thanks for listening, and I will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.